You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my Seas jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the Seas, it's the best way. Melly.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and I want to thank you for making this show part of your daily routine here for you Monday through Friday. And I just found out that last week was the most listened to week in Locked On Celtics history. So I have to start this show by thanking you literally for making this show part of your daily routine, because you listening and sharing and subscribing and all of that has really pushed this show to new heights. And I really want to thank you for doing that. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for MassLive.com. Today, talking about Kemba. Kemba addressed the slow start thing. I know it's kind of getting beaten to death, but the slow start thing is an issue. It's one of the things that the Celtics have to deal with. And for now, they're getting away with it. It's five games in. We'll see. Maybe slow starts won't be an issue a month from now, but for now they are, and Kemba talked about it. So in the third segment, you'll hear from Kemba Walker. In the second segment, we'll talk about Romeo Langford, Taco Fall, two-way guy, lottery pick, both playing in Maine. So a little bit of the Celtics strategy with both of those guys and them being with the Red Claws. I want to start with some news from today at practice. The Celtics had a practice in the Auerbach Center before they took off for Cleveland. They play the Cleveland Cavaliers on Tuesday night, tonight in Cleveland. They will have Robert Williams back. He missed the Knicks game with hip bursitis, and he seems to be fine. Brad Stevens said that he practiced, he was good, no issues. I was a little concerned that a hip bursitis thing seemed like a longer-term issue, but so far, seems like not a big deal. Jaylen Brown, out, did not practice. Although it's funny because he did participate in a panel discussion, which I was at, with Brad was there, Ted Johnson was there, a psychologist was there. It's part of NBC Sports Boston. They're doing NBC Sports in general is doing this project called Headstrong. And this was a panel to help launch a week-long kind of series leading up to their documentary on Friday. So the panel was sports, mental health in sports. Jaylen Brown had some very nice deep thoughts on that. So did everybody there. But Jaylen was there, he was participating. He seemed like his normal self, but hard to tell because he was just sitting in a chair, kind of being low-key. And that's what Jaylen Brown does. He's low-key in general outside of practice. So, but he was fine. It's not like he was in the hospital or anything. So, but he did not practice. Brad Stevens said he's still dealing with the illness, and now he's dealing with some sort of infection. Who knows what that is? That could be anything. Could be, I mean, literally anything. And I don't want to speculate, but right now, not able to play. They did say that he could join the team. He didn't travel with the team on Monday. Could join the team at any point during this road trip. So he seems close. I know a lot of people are like, oh, Jesus, kind of sort of crazy illness, but unclear what it is. And maybe when Jaylen finally plays, he can kind of explain what it was. But he's fine, and he'll play soon. And his Kanter also seems fine. He practiced. He did contact stuff. He came out of it and says he's ready to go. But the Celtics officially listed him as doubtful, which I found interesting because he seems cool. He seems ready. He seems like he's been ready. He's wanted to play. In fact, I'm going to play you what Enes Kanter said at practice. He was made available to the media. So that means he's back and close to a return, because injured players don't have to talk to the media. So just by virtue of him addressing the media, it seemed like he's close. So here's what he said.
Pretty good. You know, I've been obviously out for almost 2 weeks, and I've been getting the rehab, and Seth is doing a really good job and taking care of it. So I feel pretty good.
Are you hopeful to play tomorrow?
I hope so. That's the plan is. We got the contact today, and it didn't bother me at all. So I think I'm ready.
Have you been able to win the concern? Staying in shape because of me.
I mean, we've been doing some stuff, but I've been trying to, you know, do some running, do some lifting, and do some other stuff to just stay in shape. But you know, obviously, game shape is different. So see how I feel about tomorrow.
Were you aware initially it was going to take this long to come back?
No, I was planning to play in a Toronto game, the next game. But they just want me to, you know, just be. They told me it's a long season. Be 100% and come back. It's a 2 game and playoffs and stuff. So they just said, take your time.
That sure sounds like a guy that's ready to play. And you hear him say, I wanted to play in the Toronto game. He's wanted to play in every game since. So whether Kanter is actually available or not, it's hard to say. Again, he seems like he's ready to play. The Celtics seem to be extraordinarily cautious with him. Everything that he's said, everything that he's done, you see him walking around, you see him talking to people. He seems like a guy that's ready and anxious to get back on the floor. And we'll see if he can be back on the floor. That obviously helps the Celtics a lot. We talked a bit about their bench struggling, their last in bench scoring, which is an issue for now. But with Kanter back, I don't know if they... Let's assume he's back. Let's pretend he's back. If he is, then maybe they start him against Tristan Thompson, who's playing pretty well. Or maybe they decide to go with somebody a little bit more mobile. That would create a bit of a rebounding issue, I think. It depends on who starts or whatever, but I think they might have a bit of a rebound issue no matter what. They should beat Cleveland, but like I said, Thompson's playing well. So and they still have to deal with Kevin Love. Maybe they want to have somebody that can switch onto Kevin Love. They also have some good guards that can get downhill, although Kevin Porter Jr. is suspended. So, but they've got guys on the wings and guys that can really attack, and maybe the Celtics want to have somebody like Daniel Tice that's a little bit more able to contain drives. So we'll see what happens. But either way, having Kanter back would help out a lot, because the bench scoring is terrible right now, because guys that should be coming off the bench, like Marcus Smart and Enes Kanter, have had to start. So with Kanter coming back, theoretically, possibly, that could be addressed. That can be an issue that would really, I think, change the course of the game, because one of the problems the Cavaliers are having is they don't have a backup center. So however they decide to play it, they could bring Enes back and have him play limited minutes, something like 15 or 20 minutes, and have it all be in a backup role. Yeah, that's about what he would play normally anyway, 20 minutes or so. Take advantage of the fact that Cleveland really is struggling without a backup center, and get some points and help the Celtics that way. We'll see what happens with that. But like I said, Kanter sounds like a guy that's ready to play, and we'll see what he does, what the Celtics do. I'm sure there will be an update in the middle of the afternoon on Tuesday. Up next, Romeo Langford going to Maine, Taco Fall back in Maine. Brad Stevens talked about both of those guys and what the plan is for them. And we'll explain that when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
If you can get tickets to the main Red Claws, I would suggest you do it because their season's going to start in a couple of weeks. And if all of these guys are still there when it starts, they're going to have one hell of a team. Tremont Waters is there, obviously. We've seen what he can do in summer league, in some preseason. The kid knows the game of basketball. It comes very easily to him as far as running and seeing the floor and setting guys up. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Romeo Langford is there. Taco Fall is back there. Now, let's start with Taco. It's funny because people are dying for Taco Fall updates. So here's your Taco Fall update. I should get a sponsor. If Taco Bell is listening, you want to sponsor daily Taco Fall updates? I am ready for your money. I will take Taco Bell money to give people the Taco Fall updates. So anybody out there who knows anybody at Taco Bell who can spend a little money on a podcast, I'm down. You know, let's do a little business. Let's talk. So today, Taco Fall is in Maine, and according to Brad Stevens, they need to kind of minimize how often they use him in Boston. And because they're so thin at the big, obviously, first of all, that signals that Vincent Poirier is just not going to be a big option for now. Like I was saying with Chuck, who knows what he's going to become in a month or two or three, but right now, it does not sound like they're going to lean on Vincent Poirier. So Taco is kind of necessary for the Celtics. They see him as necessary in these kind of break glass in case of emergency situations where they need him to be available for a game here, a game there. And Brad Stevens said that's going to be how he's used for the Celtics, which means a lot of up and down for him, because the two-way contract, you only get 45 days. Two-way players only get 45 days max, and that counts practices, anytime you're assigned to the Boston Celtics and they have a day where they do something, that's a day. And if the Celtics bring him up for a week, that's 7 days, boom, gone. And so different teams, I guess, have different strategies. But the Celtics with Taco, they really want to develop him in the G League. Like, that's, everybody sees this guy as this obviously 7.5 foot tall guy that can do a couple of things. Like, seriously, he gets the ball deep enough, he can obviously dunk. He dunked without even jumping. He's got very unique skills, but he doesn't have full NBA ready skills. He's not moving he runs well and moves well for a guy his size. They just need him to start running well and moving well in general. So they're doing a lot of drills. They're obviously, they've got Jay Larinaga doing perimeter drills with him, and it's all geared towards getting his coordination down, getting it to that NBA level where he can sidestep and slide and cut and change directions quickly. Because that's what he's going to need to do. I mean, as big as he is and as able as he is to change the course of a drive, a shot, or whatever, he's not quick enough to handle a lot of what he's going to face and the defenses that he's going to face. It's not college. You can't just park yourself in the lane forever and just swat shit away because you got to get out of the lane. You only get 3 seconds in there. So and he's got to pick up complicated NBA defensive concepts. And so they want him to spend the year in Maine and do all of that and become a better overall basketball player. In the meantime, it's good to have that guy around when you're down a player or two, because in case you need him, in case there's a foul or an injury or an ejection or something like that, you're going to have a guy there that at least can be a tree and maybe do something. So for now, the plan with Taco is spend most of the time in Maine and get called to Boston on these, we might need you, but you're probably not going to play unless something crazy happens scenarios. So that's the Taco Fall update. Romeo Langford is going to Maine, but the Celtics are looking to him as a guy that can help. Obviously, he's a lottery pick. He's the 14th overall pick. There's no restriction. He can go up and down as many times as he wants. There's no days or anything like that. Let's hear Brad talk about Romeo Langford and how they've actually, it's kind of funny, how they used him recently and why Brad thinks he just needs more reps.
Well, I think the biggest thing was is, you know, we're just weighing, is it better to go practice for a full week, get ready to play, or is it better to be available for really, really spotty minutes? And it just makes sense based on the amount of time he missed early on and then the knee thing happening and then he missed more time. And so we just need him to get as many reps as possible. We had him play Giannis in practice last week when we were preparing for Milwaukee, and I thought it was his best day, and I don't think it's a coincidence that it was the day with the most reps. And so, like, I just think he needs reps. So we think that he could really help us, and you know, this is the first step to doing that, I think. I mean, I thought it's pretty easy when you're tasked with just make every play and have the ball the whole time, and all the coaches are going to call, you know, make sure that you're getting every opportunity you can to be successful.
Really interesting to hear that Romeo is out there pretending to be Giannis, which I'm sure, hey, go out there and have some fun, kid. I don't know what Romeo is going to be, but when Brad Stevens says he thinks that Romeo could help, part of that is because nobody on the bench can score right now. And obviously, again, they are shorthanded with Jalen and Ennis out and all of these other injuries. Carson Edwards can be a guy that can fill it up a little bit. We've seen him get hot, but also he hasn't hit a damn thing this season yet. And for whatever reason, he's off to a cold start. That happens. Shooters get off to cold starts. I see his thumb wrapped. I don't know if that's playing a role, but it's not his shooting hand. It's his guide hand. And if there was any sort of issue, we've seen how the Celtics are careful with their players. So if there was any sort of real issue there, I think they would be more cautious than anything else. So just seems like that Carson is off. He's cold. Shooters go through those streaks, especially when you're the kind of shooter that Carson is. You get hot real fast and hit seven shots in a row, and then you can get cold real fast and hit and miss 10 shots in a row. So until he gets maybe more settled, the Celtics are struggling to get their bench scoring together. The Celtics have also said in the past that Romeo, the game just comes so naturally to him. And we've seen like little tiny bits of it where he just looks smooth on the floor and he kind of casually gets to spots where you're like, how did he get from point A to point B? He looks like he's going slow. He doesn't look like he's doing much, but he's just, it's that smoothness, is that natural ability to get to spots on the floor. And I've made the comparison of Paul Pierce, not that he will become Paul Pierce, but Paul Pierce wasn't blazing past anybody, but he knew how to use his body and he knew how to get to spots on the floor where you're like, how did the guy was in front of him defending him, and then all of a sudden he was behind him. How the hell did that happen? And Romeo has a little bit of that type of quality to his game. The Celtics clearly are excited to have that kind of quality on the floor, but obviously a couple of problems. Romeo's been hurt. He had that thumb surgery that went all the way back to his days in Indiana. That cost him summer league. Then he comes back and he has a groin injury. That cost him most of the preseason, half of the preseason. Then in his second preseason game, after playing 10 minutes in his first one, he slips on a wet spot and sprains his knee. So tough luck to start, and he hasn't been able to go out there and really play full speed. So again, that's why Brad says needs his reps, needs to get out there and play. Once he gets that, we'll see. We'll see if that thumb, if that shot, how that affected his jump shot, if that shot can be fixed. We'll see if Romeo spends significant time in Maine or not a lot of time in Maine. But he's going to start the season in Maine, which I think totally justified, makes total sense. From there, who knows? But the Celtics clearly hope that he can help. After the break, Kemba Walker addresses the slow starts and takes some of the blame. It's coming up next on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Everybody's talking about slow starts with the Boston Celtics. It's like the storyline right now. Chuck and I talked about it. Everybody's talking about it. It's kind of been done to death, but the numbers are what they are. And hopefully they can get fixed in Cleveland. But for now, the Boston Celtics are the second lowest scoring team in first halves in the NBA. The Celtics are also the number one scoring team in second halves in the NBA. All of their top players are responsible for this. There's some sort of issue. Who knows exactly what is at the heart of it? But as I let you listen to Kemba Walker at practice, he talks a little bit about letting their offense and some missed shots dictate their defensive effort. I'll play the sound and react to that when I come back.
Slow starts are something that's not been going our way. I think it's really good that we still find a way to stay in those games and still compete even though we start slow. But it has to change. That can't keep up throughout this whole season because teams will take advantage of that, and it'll be tough for us. We can't play catch-up for a lot of the season.
Yeah, how do you do that and come out and match their energy?
It's just us. I think a lot has to do with me as well. I have to be better. Just setting the tone, especially as one of the leaders of the team. I just got to find a way to get my guys ready to start the game early on. So even me, it starts with me a lot. So, I have to have better starts as well.
Do you feel like you're playing differently when you say you have to have play a bit, have better starts? You're playing differently than you have in the past to start?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm just – I don't think I'm playing differently at all. I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it, honestly. Just something that we have to be conscious of, and we just have to get better at it. I think for us, our slow starts are on the offensive end. And that's where it kind of gets in our heads, where we start to get frustrated. We're missing shots early. I think it kind of, trickles down to our defense. So, we just have to, be better. We're not going to make shots all the time. And we can't control the offense all the time, but we can definitely control the defense and control our energy. So, that's where we have to start.
I can see how this works mentally, actually. Team goes out, misses a few shots. He said before, after a game, you worked all season on certain shots and they're not falling. Okay, so they come out and they don't fall. And you slump your shoulders, you run back, and you're kind of like half-assing it because you're in your mind, you're like, geez, why am I missing these shots? I hit a million of these shots every day, and now I'm missing these shots. And then you get blown by on defense, and while you're thinking, you screw up a switch, and you don't switch when you're supposed to, or you do when you don't, and all of it screws up, and you get down, okay? Celtics down 15 at halftime. Well, you come out of the half, and you say, okay, focus. Slap yourself in the face, whatever it is, and you say, okay, now I've got to focus. You got to focus on getting myself just do this, just play defense. And because you're down, you snap back into like, all right, time to do this. And you start making defensive plays, get a couple of layups, get some shots in transition. Now guys are taking these in rhythm shots with defenders kind of screwed up and cross matches, shots start to fall. And then you start going on runs, and then everybody's confident and happy, and then you start scoring in the second half. I get that. I get that whole thing. I can see how that works. What they need to do is stop letting those things happen defensively in the first half. they've all said it. They've all said they do it. So it's time to stop doing it. It's time to stop letting missed shots dictate your defense, because the easiest way to get going is to get a steal, get a layup, see the ball go through the hoop. And it may be hard to understand, but when you're out there on the floor and shit's not falling for you, getting a couple of steals, getting a couple of baskets, it gets your confidence going. You're like, all right, I got, like, seriously, you feel like if your job is to score and you're scoring, you're doing something, you finally feel like, okay, I'm doing something. All right, here we go. I'm ready. I'm going. And you start getting that little flow, and then the shots will start to fall. Kemba, I think, is doing some of that. I do think that Kemba is being a little tentative. The numbers are kind of funny with Kemba, because it just mirrors the exact Celtics problems. In the first quarter, first quarters this season, he's shooting just under 32%, 7 for 22. That carries over for the entire first half, 13 for 41. So just under 32%. Then in the second half, he's shooting 46.3%. He's 25 for 54. In fourth quarters, he's shooting 14 for 29, 48.3%. He is fifth in the league in fourth quarter points per game at 9.6. So Kemba is able to snap out of his malaise. He seems to be able to get his focus. And I think part of it is the stuff that I just said. Part of it is getting back to his old self. And I really feel like when it comes to a guy like Kemba, and it almost mirrors some of the conversations we were talking about with Kyrie last year, when you're Kemba Walker and you can kind of get anywhere you want, it might be better for him to try to cook right away. Just come out and just go for it. Rather than play tentative, he takes 22 shots per game, 22 shots overall. He's taking 22 shots overall in the first quarters, 29 in fourth quarters. He's taken 7 more shots. He's taken 14 more shots in the second half than he has in the first half. Flip it. Go for it in the first quarter. And then when they're reacting to you, kick it out and let the other guys start to go. I don't know. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe it's not. But when Brad Stevens talks about soaring with your strengths and whatever, that's Kemba's strength. Go do your thing. The other guys will get hot. Don't worry about it. Tatum will hit a couple of threes. You know, Gordon will figure it out. Just go be you and see how it goes. I think there's going to be some level of just attack. And then when you become that super big threat, I mean, he's always a big threat, but when people defensively are thinking like, oh shit, Kemba's on one tonight, you start overreacting to that, then things come really easy for everybody else. And then once Tatum starts cooking or Gordon starts cooking, then everybody loses their minds. So this is the time to do it. I'm sure, like, Cleveland will be an opportunity to fix some of these problems. And then he's got Charlotte. A return to Charlotte, where I'm pretty sure he's going to want to put on a show. And I think that's one of those games where the rest of the Celtics are going to be like, yeah, let's let Kemba do his thing and feed him, because they want to see him drop 50 in front of his old home crowd. So we'll see what gets fixed, what doesn't. And we'll be back to talk about those when they do. And later on this week, we'll have a special crossover episode before the Hornets game with the Lockdown Hornets podcast, which will be fun. So stick around, subscribe. If you're one of the new listeners that's sampling the show, really appreciate that. Thank you for doing that. It's very much appreciated. Hope you enjoy it. Sometimes it's me with one of either Chuck McKinney or Tom Westerholm, my old blogging partner or my partner on the beat. Like I said, we'll do crossover shows from time to time. So if you're new, check it out, and hopefully you can subscribe. All of you regular subscribers, give us that 5-star rating. Give us that good written review. If you haven't done that yet, again, we're right there. We're in the top 150 in all of iTunes sports podcasts. We're in the top 25 of NBA podcasts. We're the number one Celtics podcast. We're coming off our most listened to week ever. So thank you, thank you, thank you. But we're not done growing yet. The show still has room to grow, and I appreciate your help. Let's keep pumping this up and tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.